With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is a show about a team that started to grow a community. Wiggler and Jess, here till it ends. Meet up with Pastor Fail Greendale with all of our friends. The brightest timeline's here to shine away. Community building is here to stay.
Yeah, that's right, everybody. It's another episode of Community Building here on Post Show Recap Socket Season 1, Episode 19, Beginner Pottery, I believe is how you pronounce it. Beginner Pottery. I, of course, am Josh Wiggler, joined here, as always, by Captain Jess Sterling. Ahoy, Jess!
Hello, my precious blueberries!
Ahoy! That's what we say.
I mean, sure. I can be a pottery teacher and a captain. I'm multifaceted.
Throwing the wheel. Joining us this week. I swear, if you come on here singing Unchained Melody, I'm going to kick you straight out of the podcast. Can't wait to ask the question later on in the podcast. This is Jess's co-pilot on all things shit 90s show. So I can't wait to ask, what kind of shit did the 90s teach you this week? Sarah Ferguson!
Josh and Jess, the sea may be cold and unforgiving, but you two are not, so thank you for the warm welcome.
Yes, oh my god. Now I'm feeling like the third wheel here. This is awkward for me.
Oh yeah.
You know, I feel like now I'm encroaching upon a dynamic, and it's just a little uncomfortable for me as Jess and Sarah of the Shit 90 Shows Taught Me podcast, teaming up here on Community.
I was going to say Sarah probably should feel awkward. Josh should feel awkward. I'm the only one who doesn't have to feel awkward. It's wonderful.
Feel really uncomfortable.
Yeah. It's like you have two BFFs and they're coming together. Who's the ultimate BFF? Only time will tell.
This podcast for me is kind of like just like the throwaway podcast. Just show up, get like the credit, right? You know, like we passed, we made it, and then Sarah shows up, and now I'm suddenly feeling like the fires of competition.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. That's where I'm going.
Well, we have a lot of parallels. Our birthdays are a few days apart from one another.
Very similar.
Yeah,
always getting dragged for being Pisces.
Mm-hmm. That too. So it's just bound to happen. But I know. You are a kind and nice person, and being kind and nice is not always easy, but it's the better way. So we can be civil.
Is it the better way? It's hard.
I mean, when was the last time you lent your minivan to people?
Man, hasn't happened yet. I don't have a minivan yet. I am waiting for that moment for myself, though.
I just did it 3 days in a row. So
how did that go?
Not well.
Yeah. Yeah, lend my car every once in a while, and I always have like knots in my stomach about it. Nautical knots, like the USS Shirley or whatever we're gonna call the boat. It's not always great for me. Sarah, I'm so thrilled to have you here. This episode has been hyped. I feel like this episode, Jess, has been hyped a bit. Beginner pottery. Yeah, I think that there was like the little bit of momentum of like, you guys are going to love beginner pottery, or specifically Wiggler, you love beginner pottery. You'll never not know which one was beginner pottery. I think that's true.
It's definitely true. I mean, that's just because the title makes sense for the episode doesn't mean you're going to love it. But I do think it's a fun episode. Specifically, I figured you would love the guest star.
Yes.
/ guest stars.
Yes. So. I did. I did enjoy that. Great to get some Buster Blues in my Greendale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I knew you were a big Arrested Development guy, so I figured...
Yeah, but I couldn't keep up with it. It got the premature cancellation, then it went to Netflix, and man, it really sucked.
I tried watching it at least a few times, and I never got into the show at all. And
Sarah,
I know
were you
it's
an Arrested
huge...
fan?
No way.
Yeah.
No.
Never.
No, I've never have I ever.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I would like. I think that those first three seasons are great, but like that's in my memory, and I don't know if like is this a case of like the other seasons were so bad that like I would go back and look at them differently, and also like I don't know. I would love to like watch a couple of those characters in isolation, but some of them I wouldn't be thrilled to revisit.
I mean, is Buster Bluth one of them? Because
no,
here he
I
is.
Love I love okay. Buster Bluth. I love Buster Bluth. I love Tony Hale.
That's like the only Arrested Development I know. Go see
Alias
a Star
is
Wars.
A show about a spy. Is one of my favorite lines ever. That's a Buster Bluth. I love Tony Hale. Haven't done Veep yet. I still haven't Veeped.
I think it's like a little too soon for Veep, personally, for me. I haven't watched it either, but I just feel like I need more time away from like the political stuff.
Yeah, I'm not ready for it, but I am excited for getting into Veep at some point in time. Sarah, Veep hasn't happened for you?
I haven't Veeped either.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Someday, for all of us.
I would try Veep.
We shall Veep. But I know he's like legendary on Veep, Tony Hale. So it was great. I had no idea he was showing up here. I thought that this was really funny to see him here. Also, the actor whose name I don't know, who plays Rich, Jeff.
Yes. I have his name, Greg Cromer.
He is on Justified, I think in the first season, and he's like this sort of like great smirking one or two off bad guy who I really enjoyed. So and anytime I ever see him in something, I just think about that episode. So I loved seeing him here. It's a good week where like every storyline has like fun stuff, I feel like, in this one. I think like it may have gotten like accidentally hyped up too much for me, but I still really, really, really enjoyed this. And as you can see from my meow meow beans, Jess, like I thought this was a terrific Chang episode specifically. Chang really killed me this week.
I just at this point, I just have no explanation for any of it. Like I always after I see your scores, I like usually I'll rewatch the episode one more time. And I'm still just like baffled and mystified. I'm like, I don't see what he's seeing.
A little bamboozling.
I love Chang this week. He's only in it very briefly, and I think like to Ben Taub's earlier point from a few weeks ago of just like maximum impact. I think like Chang makes maximum impact for me this week. The bit of him always getting robbed at the YMCA and he never has his clothes. Just I don't know why it kills me, but like
Ken
Jeong just going for it. I really loved that. All good if it's not for you, but for me, I thought it was hysterical. I thought it was really fun.
I'm pretty sure on the commentary that someone said that Donald Glover called Ken Jeong like a melting alien or something like that in one of those scenes.
Oh man,
it's so mean, but
no.
It is pretty funny actually.
Oh, that is good. That is brutal and funny. All right, so we were talking about this before we get, I was gonna say let's throw the wheel, let's spin the wheel. What do you say when you're throwing pot?
You
let's
throw pottery.
You
that's
throw
like
pottery?
The term is throwing
throw
pottery.
Pottery.
Yeah.
Is that what you say? What does it mean to throw pottery? When people talk about throwing pottery, they generally mean the process from the time the clay touches the wheel to the time the wheel has stopped, is what it means to throw pottery.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever do any of this, Sarah, in school? Did you ever use the wheel?
Okay, so I was a fine arts major, but in college, well, no, I had a, well, nonetheless, it was a fine arts major under that umbrella, but I never took pottery. I just like tortured myself in painting class and drawing classes. So, but I definitely did pottery in high school. Like we had some sort of pottery class, but I've never been behind the wheel. How about you, Josh?
I have done pottery.
Oh.
Not to tremendous effect.
Okay.
You remember when it was like elementary school and they make you do the pottery in art class.
Yeah.
It's like you should have a little bit of life experience in almost everything seems to be that philosophy of that time.
Yes.
And I made like a guy sitting in like a chair was the idea.
So this is like a sculpture. This is not on the wheel. Okay.
No, but I have done the wheel. The wheel I made a bowl, or was it a cup? I don't really remember.
I mean, it could be either.
It could be either.
Was it a cigarette tray ashtray?
It could function as either a bowl or a cup. And I made this. During Emily and I, when we got engaged, we went away on a trip and we went and took a pottery class.
Oh.
She may feel differently, but I feel like mine came out a little bit better.
She to Emily.
Where is it now?
It's somewhere in our kitchen.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'll take a picture. I think it's in our kitchen. It could have broken.
This is amazing. We need the proof. Sure. Yeah, I'd like to see this. I took art in high school, and we had a whole course on pottery. I loved it. It's no joke, though. Kills your forearms. It's not easy. Centering the piece is the hard. I remember specifically that getting it centered on the wheel is the hardest part. Once you're there, you're golden. But yeah, no, I loved it. I have a bunch of like tiny bowls that I've made.
The little man in the chair that I made did not come out great.
Oh no.
I love your idea of like, this is what I'm going to make, a man in a chair.
Yeah. It was like, what do they call this in geometry? It's like an acute angle, right? It was like
that's itty bitty, right?
It was like a 45 degree angle of like the man, like he'd been like crushed by the chair.
Mm-hmm.
Josh, can I tell you what my brother made?
He had like this look on his face that looked like death.
I'm sure it did. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
My brother made, and my parents still have it. My parents, bless their hearts, they have a lot of the creations that my brother and I made when we were kids all around the house. My brother, it had to be middle school, for some sculpture class, he made a thing that looks like a piece of lasagna.
Mm.
That's where his brain went.
Gorgeous. Stunning.
I mean, who doesn't love lasagna is my follow-up question to that.
And your mom's still keeping this.
It's still around. Granted, there are a lot of other worse-looking things around as well.
Yeah.
So.
No, the man on the chair in the lasagna sounds exactly what would be at a mother or grandmother's house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And like 50 ashtrays.
Gotta wonder where the man in the chair is
going. You're going to be searching for that for a while.
Yeah, I'm sure my mom's got it still. I'll ask. All right. Well, so you throw the potter, you spin the wheel.
Yes.
Yeah, well, let's spin the wheel, not Robin Akiva Need a Podcast style, because we're on message today. We've got a topic. We are talking about beginner pottery. Jess, lead the way.
Yes. So, beginner pottery, director Anthony Russo, writer is Dan Harmon and Hillary Winston. Air date,
hey, Winston.
Just for you, Sarah. Yeah, I saw that and I was very excited. Air date, March 18th, 2010. Just for you, Sarah, right around your birthday, too.
Yeah. Jessica doesn't let us talk about air dates on Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. So it's pretty suspect that you're allowed to talk about air dates on community building.
Why but is nonetheless, that? What is the logic?
She says that nobody cares.
Because nobody does care.
Nobody cares. It's interesting because Shit 90s Shows Taught Me seems to specifically implied in the premise is this curiosity about historical context.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very historical.
Sarah, are you in favor of the release dates being included?
What was that?
Are you in favor of the release dates and all of that information being included?
Yeah, no, I feel like it's relevant information, and Jessica says that it's arbitrary, and she does not let us do it. So
Sarah likes to announce it at the beginning of the podcast, and I'm like, yeah, okay, who cares?
I think it's relevant information. I think it's worth including.
Okay.
Let's put out the poll. The informal poll. Do you all like it when we tell you when something came out, when it was coming out, or do you not really care? Let us know.
Inquiring minds would like to know.
I want to know.
Send us your tweets, your emails.
Before we get into the actual episode here, we have to start off, Josh. We didn't ask Sarah about her history with Community.
Yes. Sarah, was Community something that you binged eventually, or were you in on from the jump?
I was not an OG Community fan. I actually started watching Community when you... and Jessica dropped community building.
Oh, so you're new to it.
I'm very new to it. However, I did completely binge it. So I've seen all of Community now, but it started off as being I'm going to support my friend and her new endeavor.
Yeah. And then the endeavor became
exploded.
An adventure.
Mm-hmm. An adventure.
Did you like doing it as a binge? How long did it take you?
Well, so I think seasons 1 through the end of 4, I binged very quickly, and I actually struggled with seasons 5 and 6. So I actually have a little bit of like a hot take that I don't mind season 4, which
wow.
might be a nasty take. So I don't mind it. I had a problem with some things in season 5, and season 6 I really dislike, actually. So it's different, and Jessica doesn't like my opinions, but mm-mm. that's the thing about the podcasting world. We can differ, but I don't really mind season 4. It has a different feeling. Like, it feels a little bit different, but it's not as painful for me as like some aspects of season 5. So I stopped down at season 5, and then Jessica bullied me, and then I hurried on up. She was like, Sarah, you got to finish it. If you want to be on community building, then you have to finish mm-hmm. the series. So I was like, okay, I'll finish.
It's wow. true. I did.
Mm-hmm. You could have not finished it.
No, I finished it. No, I'm happy that I did. I'm a completionist, so I wouldn't have just like trailed off forever. But it was like a, you know, I was only watching Community from seasons like 1 to the end of 4, like consistently. Like, it was a very fast binge.
And then it was like, all right, here we go.
Yeah, all right. I guess I'll do 5 and 6. So.
Interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a bit of a hot take. I think it's interesting, especially coming from somebody who binged everything versus watched it live. Yeah, I strongly disagree, but everybody is allowed to have their opinions, I suppose.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I am my own person.
Yeah.
There was a vibe to that. There was definitely a vibe mm-hmm. going on with that.
Yeah, no, there's some vibes, but you know.
Yeah.
And I mean, I loved this episode in particular because I too fancy myself as an amateur pottery and vase enthusiast, and I have some unresolved mommy issues. So
how about as a sailor?
I mean, who can deny the gift of the seaman's voyage?
Jess is not
the seaman.
She's not a true seaman.
She's not a true seaman.
She laughs.
I laughed. Yeah, I've watched the episode 3 times, and I laughed. Every time. It's too funny not to.
Yeah. I think I'm a true seaman.
I think I am definitely a true seaman.
Yeah.
I think I am somebody who loves the open sea. Big fan.
Yes.
Yeah.
Big fan. Huge.
Jess, you all right?
It's not okay.
It's the semen.
Anyway.
Okay.
Semen.
Great. We'll leave that alone and carry forward. All right.
Going into
the
beginner
episode.
Pottery. Yeah. We're in the study room. Britta and Shirley are entering. Shirley had to wake up early to get the bus, and she watched Cinemax. She canceled her subscription due to the stimulation. Britta wants to know why she's taking the bus, and apparently her ex-husband needed to borrow her van because his girlfriend works at a club an hour from the city. Shirley says, kind people are always kind, Britta, not just when it's easy.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about. And it's true. Which is why I know I'm not really kind, because I'm only kind when it's easy. And then when it's really hard, I'm very nasty.
So you have some motivation behind your kindness.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's not altruistic.
Yeah, that's the Pisces. Yeah.
That is the true Pisces nature.
Yeah.
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 No.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like an anxiety coping mechanism, I think. I don't know.
I feel like it's a bridge too far for an ex-husband to ask to borrow like their ex's van.
I guess it depends on like the closeness of the relationship, but it doesn't seem like it's great in this context.
It also depends on what you're using it for, right? If he's using it to shuttle her kids somewhere, makes sense. But his new girlfriend, like, come on now.
Yeah.
You're just asking a bit too much.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Jeff enters and presents this semester's blow-off class, beginner pottery. Annie says that Jeff's last blow-off class ended up teaching her to live in the moment, which she will always regret and never do again.
Yeah.
It's a very Annie thing to say.
Yeah. Annie being somebody who's going to get in on pottery eventually, but really want to figure it out tracks like mm-hmm. later on when we see like the montage of everybody doing their thing. So it's really, really great. But yeah, the last blow off class ended with her trying to live in the moment. She will always regret that.
Yeah, she hates to carpe the diem.
She will never do it again.
Do you think that has anything to do with the fact that... Oh, no. Never mind. Because I was going to say that, like, Jeff kissed Britta, or Britta kissed Jeff in that episode, right?
Yes.
Oh, yes. In the carpe diem episode?
Yeah, but she didn't have any feelings for Jeff at that point, right?
No, I don't think so, right?
Not, like, or, that like, interest?
It wasn't really that point, no. Not Annie's until
not really,
like,
a character yet, I feel like, at that point. Like, she's barely a character that early on.
It's super early. Yeah, I don't think so. No. I mean, I think she's the type who, like, takes notes in a seize the day class. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she obviously isn't going to enjoy it. I wouldn't enjoy it either.
No.
Yeah.
So Jeff says, this class is different. You get an art credit for participation. It's like a redhead that drinks scotch and loves Die Hard. I suggest you all get her number.
Mm-hmm. It's a very specific picture that he's painting.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't like Die Hard, so I don't really drink scotch and I'm not redheaded, so I guess I don't follow
you
into
don't, you're
any
not
of this.
Being described in this sentence.
No, you can't relate to it at all.
No, not at all. No.
Yeah. I am also not somebody who has red hair or drinks scotch, but I love Die Hard.
Mm.
So I can almost relate to it.
Do you watch Die Hard on Christmas?
We did this past Christmas with the patrons of Post Show Recaps. You can become one, patreon.com/postshowrecaps, and watch Die Hard on Christmas and other festive holiday viewings.
Mm-hmm. Willy Wonka on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Fun times.
Mm-hmm.
Pierce enters. He's wearing a sailor's hat. He says, guess what science class I signed up for? And Jeff jokingly says, singing with Tennille? Not really a joke for people my age, I don't think, because I had to look up what this was.
Yeah, share with the pottery class, please.
Yeah, so, like, Captain and Tennille is, like, a thing. And I don't know. It's an old show. It's from the 1970s. Like, it's not a show. It's a group. It's a band, Captain and Tennille.
Yeah.
It's a band from the 70s. So yeah. I don't know why Jeff is making this reference, honestly, either.
It's great, though, because you know what? I'm constantly feeling like an old these days.
Mm-hmm.
So this makes me feel like a young, because I don't know it.
That's great.
It's a great feeling.
Yeah. Love
Incredible
that for
feeling.
You.
Love it. Love it. It's a great journey for me today.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We'll work on that. We'll try to make you feel even younger.
Pierce looks
podcast.
Incredible, by the way. This whole vibe is hysterical. Yes. This Donald Duck looking guy is just absolutely incredible. In walks the Stay Puft Marshmallow. This is incredible.
The hat, especially, I appreciate. I mean, who doesn't love an outfit, right, Sarah? We talk a lot about fashion in our podcast, and who doesn't love dressing for success?
Yeah, this is exactly the mentality that I have in life. I am a huge advocate of, if I'm going to sign up for a hobby that I've never participated in, I have to, like, dress the part. So once I played tennis and I went to my local store and bought an entire tennis getup. One time I went hiking, I went to the store and I got a hiking getup. I too play the part whenever I do activities. So he was just dressing the part and he looked phenomenal. This is where Pierce thrives as a seaman.
Yeah.
Jessica.
Pierce signed up for sailing, even though the closest body of water is 2.5 hours away.
Mm-hmm.
He says, the class, we don't measure the sea in hours, Abed. We measure it in leagues.
In leagues.
So great. Pierce says the class is hands-on on a real boat in the parking lot. Britta says she'd rather do sailing than beginner pottery. And Shirley says she was thinking of taking a class on putting together an online dating profile, but sailing sounds less pathetic.
Yeah.
It's fair.
Troy is interested as well. So we're dividing everybody up. It's a solid 3-4 split.
Yes. And I like this. I think that the show thrives when they have, like, a plot A and a plot B versus A, B, and C. I think we get to dedicate more time to the different plots when you only have two.
Yeah.
Similar to Survivor and Three Tribes. It's like, let's just do two. Let's do two and be done with it.
Yeah.
So we're in pottery class. Jeff enters class drinking a beverage and wearing sunglasses.
He's so cool.
Oh, yeah.
He thinks he's cool, at least. He's like talking suggestively to the women. He even like pushes out his butt in like one little movement. I don't know. He's like a little hip thrust, I guess.
Yeah, he got a sassy hip over there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very sassy hip. He calls Abed Home Depot guy because he's wearing an orange apron. And Annie, Laura Ingalls. Also had to look up who Laura Ingalls is.
Yeah, Little House.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
As Sawyer
either,
calls it, Little House.
Yes.
Yeah.
We see a handsome guy laughing and chatting with the women around him. He really wants to make his mom an ashtray.
This is Rick. Yes. Or Rich.
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 Yeah, this is Rich. Question for Rich on why he's wearing like a really nice sweater in pottery class. Like, where is your apron, Rich? I feel
where
like
where did it go? Mom, it is a good question. Where
do
did
you
that
actually
go?
Think that cool boy Rich would actually get dirty in pottery class? As if
no,
he's a profesh. He's not going to get dirty.
Yeah, no,
correct.
Like clean. He's going to leave class with clean hands. I don't even know how it's possible, but he'll do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Clean face, too, even after he puts his face on the pottery.
There's really no way to do pottery without getting a little dirty, I think.
No, especially because, like, you have to throw the pot. So, like, it's going to, like,
yeah.
You know, sploosh.
Yeah. You couldn't have phrased it better myself.
Jeff gives him a look and he smiles back. The professor greets everyone. The amazing Tony Hale. Loved him. Hello, my precious blueberries.
My precious blueberries. You know what I loved about this? We've already sung the praises of Tony Hale. Sarah, last week, like, I was already thinking, like, they're, like, all the ghost references that this episode's probably going to have. So what I love is that right off the bat, they're just mm-hmm. like, no ghost references.
No.
You are not allowed. I have heard and seen them all.
Strictly forbidden. And my favorite part is that he has that sign of Patrick Swayze and has a big X, and he's like, you know what, this was before he passed.
I know, that's such a good yeah, this is not tasteless, this was from before he passed.
Yes. I love it. If you so much as hum three notes from that Righteous Brothers song with God is my witness, I will come at you with everything I've got. I also
can you sing Unchained Melody from memory? Is that one that's embedded in your pop cultural DNA?
Is that not
DNA?
The like, oh my love. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can. Yeah,
yeah, you got
everyone
it.
Knows that song.
Nailed yeah. it. Nailed yeah. it.
Yeah, but one of my favorite things is like Tony Hale, like his physical comedy is also on point. Like he's smashing this clay. He's like carrying it above his head for whatever reason. I totally believe him as like a very eccentric pottery class teacher.
Yeah. Yeah. I buy that as well. I think that it's a good fit. The struggle for me with Tony Hale every time I see him is not to just like automatically assume whatever character he's playing is like a total idiot.
Mm-hmm. I don't think he's a total idiot in this
he's
one.
Not and that's yeah. the problem is like I just kind of expect him to be like this deeply regressed idiot as he is on Arrested Development, like he's mm-hmm. just like so good as Buster that I only ever think of Buster when I see him.
That's
yeah.
fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. We see a montage of pottery class. Abed is making non-edible falafel.
Mm-hmm.
Annie is doing, this is a very well-known gif, she's doing a very suggestive movement with her clay.
She's making a vase.
She is. She's making a vase. Jeff is doing nothing. He says he made a participant badge.
Yeah, it's just like the big glob of clay. This yeah, is like when I was in wood shop in high school. I know a totally mm-hmm. different trade, but like I made like a board and like.
And you were like, this is a shelf?
No, I said like it's a plaque. And it was just like a board, and it had like a little bit of like of like stuff like embedded in it, like decorative like
engraving.
Like text. Yeah.
Yeah.
Some kind of engraving. I turned it and I was like, this is the plaque.
And it was beautiful.
Like, you get a D plus. I was like, okay.
Wait, so I'm just remembering my wood class journey. And so we had to make toys, like wooden toys. And it got to a point in the semester where like they knew that we like certain people weren't going to get past the point. So there was like a metal cabinet of finished toys where you can hand in your crappy toy and in turn get a good toy. And of course, I had to turn it in for a good toy.
Oh yeah. My gosh, that yeah. seems kind of mean. See, that's the difference, I think, between Josh and I, and that we had options, so we could make like a shelf or a box, or there was one other option, or a stepping stool. And I was very tall, so I had no need for a stepping stool. I made a box, and I got done with mine early, so I even installed chains on it, like little hinges, and then I also engraved my name and like colored it in.
Wow. Yeah. Overachiever.
I still have it.
Yeah, it says Stage Sterling. Yeah,
that's
there.
Exactly what
Stage,
it says.
Stage Sterling. All right, so everybody's doing their stuff, and then Rich is just like crushing it. He's like made some sort of like goblet of fire looking thing.
It's amazing.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Everyone is astonished, especially the professor.
Yeah.
Abed narrates, Jeff's competitive side had come out before. He'd even displayed envy, but on that first day of Potter class, Jeff like,
stop voiceovering. Yeah, it's a crutch.
I love it so much because, like, you're not expecting it, right? Like, the camera doesn't pan over to Abed right away. It's mm-hmm. perfect.
Yeah.
We're now in sailing class in the middle of the parking lot. Troy and Shirley are talking about how Pierce has all the boat clothes. Pierce, and this, for whatever reason, killed me. He's attempting to christen the boat, but he's just banging a champagne bottle against the boat.
So what do you think that, like, does he think it's going to help it pop? Is he afraid?
I think this is that not the tradition where you like hit it and like the bottle breaks?
You're supposed to break the bottle?
You're like I think you're supposed to break the bottle on the boat. Is that? Huh.
Maybe I don't understand christening things.
Christening.
Yeah.
I thought you were, I feel like the normal thing with champagne is to pop the cork off the top, but you shake it first, right? And then you pop the thing and then it goes woo and it like, you know.
Right.
Is that a good description?
Yeah, one of the things that's difficult for the podcast version of this, if you're a patron of Potion Recaps, you get to watch these live, patreon.com/potionrecaps. But for the audio version, just to describe, the woo was accompanied with like just like taking off like from orbit.
I used the hands, you know.
The other thing that's nice about this is we get instant feedback, and both Deidre mm-hmm. and Riley, who are watching, simultaneously saying, Sarah is right.
Thank you.
It's got to feel good.
It does feel great. You just break a bottle on a boat, though.
No, it's just a tradition.
You break the bottle on the boat, and then, like, I guess, like, what? You just, like,
clean up the glass.
Yeah, you just wash it off. Yeah.
That's just a waste of alcohol. That's a party foul, in my opinion.
You gotta get like really bad champagne then, I guess. Like this has to be like the what is it? Like the $1 chuck of champagne.
I know $2 chuck. Yep, I know her well. That's definitely what you should probably get. Also, it's considered a bad omen if the bottle doesn't break on the first try.
It makes sense then.
Yeah. So we definitely got like a bad omen for Pierce.
Yeah, foreshadowing right
there. Some foreshadowing for the future.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so Professor Slaughter is his name. He introduces himself and says the boat is the SS Nose Candy. Wonderful name. Shirley gives her usual, that's nice.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Slaughter, I love Shirley in this episode. Shirley's perfect in this episode as far amazing. As I'm concerned.
Yeah, 100%. Another great episode for Shirley. He corrects her saying it's their only weapon against the raging sea. Mm-hmm. The parking lot is the sea.
This is a great episode because like it feels like a really epic ocean adventure mm-hmm. in an asphalt parking lot.
Yeah. And the music too. I feel like the score they was do it fantastic. Perfectly.
Yeah. I think that the B plot is far exceeds the A plot for me this week. Would be my I don't know if that's a hot take, but that is definitely my take.
I think I like them equally. I don't know.
I don't know.
When I look back at this episode, obviously I remember the pottery aspect, but when watching it back, I'm like, oh, the sailing though. The mm-hmm. sailing's really,
the sailing
really good.
Kills me.
Yeah.
That might also be because I'm very partial to Christopher Cross's power ballad, Sailing, which I suggest you listen to if you haven't before. It's beautiful.
I don't know that I know that song.
Very moving. Very moving.
So they will succeed or fail as a crew. And he assigns Shirley the role of captain. And Pierce is very upset about this.
Yeah.
As we all would expect him to be.
Yeah. I'm also like mildly upset now because like no one got the Christopher Crossing. And now I feel like an old again. It's not your fault. It's totally on me. I had like two moments of feeling like young, and now I'm an old again.
You were on top of the world.
Yeah, I was the king of the world. Oh, sorry, I'm not allowed to make that reference.
No, not allowed. Not allowed
that's,
here.
That's been X'd out as well. Yeah.
So we're now in Spanish class. Shirley's super excited about being captain. And Pierce has been a captain. I commanded a jet ski through an electrical storm and only had one casualty. But jet skis hold two people. And he says, exactly. I saved half the crew. I feel like Pierce is doing well this episode for me. He hits all the marks and he doesn't say anything extremely racist. So that's a good sign for Pierce.
I think it's a top tier Pierce episode. I think that I was tickled throughout. And saving half the crew is very like, it's very admirable for, of him to be, to save
to
himself.
Be only concerned with himself.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, just not purely altruistic.
No.
Yeah.
Ovid and Annie are talking about how much fun and difficult pottery class is. Annie says that Rich is a natural, but Ovid is worried about the effect it will have on Jeff. He says that Jeff is usually the cool one.
He's like, this is fine. It's a blow-off class.
Yeah, the point of the blow-off class is to blow it off.
Yeah.
And Ovid wants Jeff to admit that Rich is talented, but he won't. He says he's actually making an effort. If he was actually making an effort, they would all think he was the cat's pajamas.
Yeah, and now Jeff is an old, as Pierce says. You sound like Pierce.
Yeah, like, come on, Jeff. Like, all these references, like Captain and Tennille and the cat's pajamas, like, I feel like Jeff aged, like, 20 years overnight.
Yeah, this isn't a very old Jeff episode.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I know what the cat's pajamas means, but still,
I do
no
too.
One says it.
Yeah, because I dress my cats in pajamas every night before they go to bed.
Of course.
So...
Britta thinks Jeff's mother gave him too much praise. So did someone's psych teacher. I love that as a comeback.
Chang walks into the classroom and he is shirtless, wearing only sweatpants, and just says, I know. I got robbed at the YMCA again. And that's the scene. And like, they really would have had to tank Chang for this to not be a perfect five Chang for me after that. That's like the exact use of Chang. That is exactly how you should be using this character. Very clearly. It's just like one of those, like, this is ridiculous. Like one of these, like, sort of like unexplained things.
Yeah.
That does not require any further elaboration. Right. No expansion whatsoever. Just Chang having been robbed at the YMCA and then we move on. I died. I laughed so hard. I was cackling. I was howling when I saw this. This is great.
I think I preferred him in like the sex education episode where he's like commenting on the condoms and stuff. Like, I feel like if I'm going to give someone a five, like they need to do like a little bit more in an episode for me to feel very strongly. I'm glad I didn't see more of him, but
if it gets that kind of like the belly laugh that it got out of me watching it earlier, I can't help how I feel. And you told me, don't be wishy-washy. Go for it. So I went for it.
I did it. Now I'm reaping those wonderful benefits.
Now we're regretting it.
Yeah. Should I go back to wishy-washy?
No, it's worse.
Yeah. So you'd rather me go full five?
Yes, yeah. I would.
Okay, yeah. Great. Because
at least then
it.
I can just disagree with you very strongly.
Totally fine. Yeah.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
So we're now back in pottery class. Jeff is sitting alone in a dark room. Classical music plays as he attempts to make something on the wheel. We see a flashback to Jeff's mother. By the way, this child looks remarkably like Joel McHale.
Jeff is going to score relatively high for me this week in no small part thanks to the Jeff flashbacks. Because this kid is just like, he keeps like, he has like this sort of like sinister look on his face. Like, Like, he's definitely up to no good.
Yeah, this kid knows what he's going to become.
I think he's already become him.
He's even him from day one.
That's him.
Yeah, that's him. Like,
he's already trying to figure out how to, like, master the art of the blow-off class. Yeah, that's Jeff.
He's the most special little boy in the world.
So funny.
That's the thing. It makes me nervous because I tell Winston he's, like, the most special little boy in the entire world. And I hope he doesn't become a Jeff when he's, like, an adult, you know?
He's already a Jeff.
Yeah.
Have you seen him with his brother Linky?
It's not his fault. He's the alpha. He just takes charge, you know?
Yeah.
So Jeff sucks at pottery.
Yes.
He doesn't make anything. It Correct. Looks horrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're back in sailing class. Shirley is barking out orders, but she's a bit tentative about it. And Professor Slaughter gets the attention of everybody. I don't see students here. I see semen. And I didn't create them. From the moment you climbed aboard, I saw semen inside you.
Mm-hmm.
More importantly, you stopped giggling at the word semen. And that's the mark of a real semen.
You couldn't even make it through that recitation without laughing.
Because he says semen like five times.
That's what they
human.
Are. That's what
that's
they're
what
called.
They are semen.
I'm only human.
They're semen.
Oh, no. Jessica's never going to be able to join sailing club when she's 65.
Yeah.
No, never. The minute they say semen, I'm out.
You're never going to be able to go out on the open seas without giggling, without a laugh.
No, no. You're just going to be a disgrace to all semen everywhere.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Technically,
a
I'm a sea woman
to
anyway.
All semen everywhere.
Pierce is ghost riding the jib. He's
Great
dangling.
Line from Troy.
He's dangling over the parking lot and loses his hat. My favorite Troy line of the episode is, I might be able to reach it. It landed on that Hyundai. I mean, mermaid's car.
I did love that line too. Troy got bumped up a little bit for me just specifically because of the mermaid's car.
Honestly, same. Yeah. I had him at a certain number and I raised him 0.5 after I rewatched because of that line. It's so good.
He's sort of like he like plays like sort of like the classic first mate type of character, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like if this episode was like sort of like pirate adjacent, like you can kind of see like the big Smee energy coming from Troy. You know what I mean?
Big Smee energy. I was thinking Gilligan, but that's,
that
works too.
Smee. Smee was, I was thinking Gilligan too, but then I was like, no, like Pierce is definitely pulling that Gilligan energy.
Oh, see, yeah. Pierce gives me big, what is it? What is the name of the old man? Thorogood or something? The rich couple from Gilligan's Island.
I don't know. It wasn't a Gilligan's guy. I gotta be honest.
That's who he reminds me of.
Yeah.
Shirley yells at Pierce to get back on the boat, but Professor Slaughter gives everyone a D and tells Shirley to get her crew in line.
Gotta get your people in line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back to pottery class. Jeff walks in as Rich is showing some women his fountain with a bird on it. He asks Jeff if he's ready to create some art in the shape of a vase.
Yeah.
Josh, do you say vase or vase?
I think I used to always say vase.
Vase. Yeah.
And then I think I've changed it maybe to vase.
It sounds fancy.
It's very fancy. I think that there's a price cap where you switch from vase to vase.
I think, Sarah, that is an excellent take.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know exactly what the number is, but as I am a vase enthusiast, I have some like pretty expensive ones that I got from my days working with billionaires in interior design. And that
should
one
you
was,
have
like,
said instead of from your days working should have been your das.
My das. So yeah, I have an $800 vase, but I have a $15 vase.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's
I thought you were actually saying you had an $800. I mean, you might, but that is expensive.
Yeah,
I can and
sense.
Cannot confirm that I have that in my house. We'll do a show and tell later.
Okay,
no flowers
great.
Are allowed in that one.
No.
That vase.
No, it's purely decorative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
None of my vases are for flowers. They're all
decorative.
I don't
understand that. I feel like that's kind of
Where
the
do the flowers go?
The flowers go, I have a pitcher.
Okay.
A pitcher, and I put hydrangeas in my pitcher.
Okay. Is it a nice pitcher?
Yeah, it's Tory Burch.
Yeah, okay, that works.
Yeah. I don't know who that is either. But so Jeff shows him a bandaged finger. Rich offers to take a look at it and states he's a doctor who takes pottery class to unwind.
Yeah.
He hasn't lost a patient in 5 years.
Wow. Yeah.
He takes the bandage off Jeff's finger and he says that it isn't sprained or broken. Oh, thank God. But I'll have to get a second opinion from a guy in my basket weaving class.
Yeah, very good. I like that. Yeah. I think that's funny.
And Rich laughs, like, very, like, he actually thinks it's very funny.
Yeah, because Rich is a cool guy. He doesn't try to be cool. He is. Like, mm-hmm. you know, when you don't try, then you are. That's the secret to being cool.
Yeah. And Rich totally embodies that. Abed says it's great to see Jeff getting along with Rich. Jeff says that he's a ringer, you know, a con man, a grifter. He's an expert potter who signs up for novice classes to impress people.
Jeff this is called projection. I'm trying so hard to map that onto projection.
Yeah. Reach.
I'm going to go. I hope that you all have a great time listening to Jess and Sarah do the rest of the show.
We think of this idea, though? Like, of Rich being like a
pottery shark.
Pottery shark.
I think this is genius. If I was only good at anything, then I would totally do this.
Yeah.
I just want to impress people.
Yeah.
I don't know that I care enough about what people think to try to do this.
Well, aren't you cool? Are you Richie Rich?
I know.
I'm desperate for admiration. A
couple Pisces over here really can relate to this idea.
Yeah, we want the props. Yeah. I want to be good at anything so that
validate
I can impress people.
Validate me.
Yeah. That's the thing. I would want to be the best. Don't get me wrong. I would definitely be annoyed if I took a pottery class and somebody was like really good and I wasn't. Yeah. I would be the Jeff. I would be annoyed. But I certainly wouldn't be a grifter or a ringer or a pottery shark like Jeff is accusing Rich of being. Yeah. Abed asks why join a pottery class to impress people when he could just say, hi, I'm a doctor. Jeff says he's crazy and that fancy jobs don't impress people. Abed wasn't impressed when Jeff said he was a lawyer. And I love this this moment from Abed where he's like, anybody can be a lawyer. You can even represent yourself. You can't do surgery on yourself. It's illegal.
It's illegal.
And then you get a free lawyer.
Yeah.
That was such a great burn on Jeff. And I feel like Abed's like unintentional burns are some of my favorites.
Yeah, it was a real evisceration of the legal profession.
I mean, yeah, like he really took down lawyers, and obviously this upset Jeff greatly.
Yeah.
I feel like most people probably think doctors and lawyers are about on a similar level, a similar amount of schooling and work.
Yeah, yeah. Both your bubby would be impressed by either profession if you date into it. So it works.
I don't know.
It's true. Gotta impress a bubby.
Yeah, you do. You should try if you can.
Annie comes over to them, excited because Rich showed her how to make a flared lip on her pot and check for breast lumps.
Hysterical.
That one line also bumped Annie up a little bit.
Yeah, but like, I love the little,
noises that she makes are my favorite.
Yeah.
Jeff says Rich will slip up and he'll be there to expose him. Rich tells Jeff he can get creative and use his face on the pot. And Professor Holly wants to kiss Rich on the mouth.
Yeah. Professor Holly loves Rich.
He's a star student.
Yeah. Big Rich fan. Jeff is obsessed with Rich.
Obsessed.
He needs to follow Rich out into the parking lot and just like keep trying to expose this person.
Yeah, he basically just tries to get him to slip up and admit he's taken other classes. And I love Rich's line of like, it's kind of weird. I feel like I'm being interrogated, but by someone who doesn't really want to know anything important.
Mm-hmm.
It's not wrong. And this is when Jeff notices Rich's New Mexico plates. He did his residency in Santa Fe, and Jeff is like very excited about this. He feels like he's caught a break in the case.
That's it. He got him. Boom.
Mm-hmm.
We got you.
Yeah, got you.
It's done.
He's in the study room all night, pouring over papers. Britta, Annie, and Abed enter, and Britta asks if Jeff has slept, and he says only for a few hours.
I don't know. I can't function on just a few hours of sleep.
I need like at least 5 or 6.
Got like 5 sounds so light. Like that is so low.
I mean, I can do five if I have a lot of coffee.
If I have no choice, yeah.
I rage at five.
You rage at five.
I rage at five.
Like, you get 5 hours of sleep, you wake up, and you just start partying?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I don't think that's the type. I think she means more like a barbarian D&D rage.
Oh, no. Wow. So you take half damage.
Exactly.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. If you sleep for 7 hours, then you're too and sleepy. Like, I can't
operate.
Oh, it's
too long?
It's too long, 7 hours. So five is perfect.
Wow.
For raging.
Seven is like my ideal.
Mm-mm. No.
I'll sleep forever if I'm allowed.
Jeff says that because Rich is from Santa Fe, he must know how to do pottery. Nobody gets out of Santa Fe without learning how to make a pot.
Yeah. I think that might be true, though.
I mean, it sounds like a decent enough theory, I guess.
Jeff is gold blooming.
Okay. Someone explain this joke to me. I've seen Jurassic Park, but beyond that, I don't really understand.
I think that this is referring to, like, The Fly. I think maybe I'm wrong, but I think like gold blooming would be in the case of like The Fly. In The Fly, like he starts like go nuts and he starts like experimenting on himself and he starts turning into the fly.
So
I think it's like that. Pretty sure.
I don't know. But apparently Dan Harmon and the Russo brother that directed this episode, Anthony Russo, got into a bit of a tiff about this whole situation here, because I guess like they had a disagreement onto like what it meant to gold bloom, because they had a ton of material and they had to cut it down and they disagreed on which one was more gold bloomy.
Yeah.
But I didn't even get the joke to begin with. I guess it's probably a funny joke if you get it.
Yeah.
I just didn't get it. And Jeff says he's going to catch Rich. Britta asks, who cares? And Jeff says, pottery cares. Integrity cares. I don't care. I just care that he cares.
We've really escalated from this being a blow-off class to being like all in
all on he thinks
the
about.
Integrity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he's a bit obsessed at this point.
Yes.
Can relate.
Yeah.
Pierce says, so we're now, we're still in the study room. Pierce is entering. He says his shoelace came untied. Shirley says she doesn't like his excuse. Britta weighs 5 pounds. Troy can't swim and I've never seen the ocean.
Yeah.
And Troy can swim.
Yeah, he says, I can't swim. That's racist.
Yeah. Shirley tells Pierce to shape up or ship the hell out.
Uh-huh.
I love the way Shirley talks to Pierce.
Shirley towards Pierce in this episode is, spoiler alert, also going to earn her a full five from me. She leaves Pierce to die at one point.
Yeah.
She sentences him to death.
In the parking lot.
Yeah, so that's going to get a five.
And Pierce says, now I know what the C in Captain stands for. Crab apple.
Crab apple.
Britta says that she thought kind people were always kind. Shirley says she's like the sea. If it was always calm and still, nobody would respect her.
That's a very good point.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, solid.
Yeah. Jeff's mad. Not enough attention. What he's doing is important.
Yeah. Seriously, Jeff. Like, calm down. Not everything is always about you.
Yeah.
Abed says college is where most mental problems are activated. And Troy says he hopes he gets multiple personalities. He gets lonely in long showers.
So he wants to be kept company is the implication?
Apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're back in sailing class. They're heading into a perfect storm. Shirley's shouting orders. Is that nautical talk or urban speak? This is by Pierce. Not great. This is why he didn't get a full five from me. Don't like that. Nope.
Yeah.
Professor teases the, releases the jib. Pierce gets knocked overboard. Britta throws him a life raft, but the storm is overtaking them. And Shirley says, they don't have time. Pierce is like crying. He wants to get pulled in, but they end up releasing the rope on Shirley's orders.
I love Troy just like slow, like Pierce like, yes, yes, as he's pulling the rope. Troy's just letting it go. And Shirley is just like very determinedly like in her heart and in like the context of the fiction. She's like, we can't. He must die. The ocean has spoken.
Yep.
And that is the end of Pierce's life in this specific scene.
I love this. I mean, I loved Pierce's physical comedies. Like, no, why? I think it's hilarious.
Very good.
It cracked me up.
Yeah. And Troy is a, what in God's name have we done?
It's very funny.
It's very good. Yeah. And this is when Chang approaches. Okay, so this moment with Chang was funny. He approaches on his moped and tells Pierce to get out of his parking spot. Yeah.
I love Chang in this episode. No surprise. I've already said. Yeah. But like this made me laugh really hard as well. She's like, get out. Like, move.
We're back in pottery class and Jeff is ranting to Abed about Rich. Take an intermediate class if you're in an intermediate. It's crazy, man. He's a crazy person. Mm-hmm. Annie is scared, but Abed reassures her by saying that Jeff is confronting his own limitations.
Yes.
Rich ends up like slapping pottery, which apparently is like a super fancy advanced technique.
That was an advanced move. Like he was like,
it looked,
you know,
pretty advanced.
That was very suspicious.
He was just slapping it. Very. I don't know why.
No, suspicious. I mean, it looked like an advanced move. It was highly sus. I would say I would take umbrage with that move in a beginner's pottery class.
And this is when Jeff says, you're no beginner, Santa Fe.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff stands behind Rich to help him, and everyone is shocked. Abed notes it's the hilarious guy on guy. Professor Holly is upset.
Mm-hmm. He's got the Swayze with the X. This isn't tasteless. It's from before he died. It's not in bad taste.
Yes. He kicks Jeff out of the class and he says, congratulations. You failed a class so easy that people passing in the hallway get a contact credit.
That's very funny. Yeah, that's good.
And this is when Jeff starts.
He sings
Jeff.
Unchained Melody. Yeah.
Yeah, but I love him smashing Rich's spot before he leaves. and I love Rich's reaction. Like, did you see that?
Yeah.
And he starts singing as he exits. The professor is freaking out and mm-hmm. chasing him. Such a good scene.
It's good.
So funny.
It's good.
This is when we get kind of like the most of Pierce in this episode. He's in like some garage. I don't know where this is.
Yeah, where is this? Is this on campus?
I mean, I guess it's supposed to be.
It looks like a storage unit.
Yeah.
Like,
who let Pierce have access to this?
Maybe he bought his way in. I don't know.
Yeah. This is like his locker. Like, you know how colleges have lockers? Like, this is his locker that he bought.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jeff asks Pierce if he still has the number of a private investigator he used when he thought Ross Perot was sleeping with his mom.
Yeah.
Don't know who that is either.
Whoa. Former presidential candidate Ross Perot. I'm an old 1990s.
How embarrassing.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. Don't you read history books?
Yeah. Not for fun.
Oh my gosh.
Pierce tells Jeff to face the facts that Rich has a natural talent that Jeff doesn't have. Pierce says it's all over the school, which is just so classic Greendale that something like this would be all over the school.
Yeah, there's 3 minutes.
There's definitely some like good Ross Perot comedy in the 1990s that you could explore in the podcast. I'm just saying, like all
that.
Yeah,
we should look into it.
Josh on all that. He did like the ears, I think. No, that was Ear Boy. I think it was Dana Carvey on SNL, maybe. I don't know. There was
somebody.
Good Ross Perot comedy in the 90s.
I mean, if I Googled him, I'd recognize his face.
Probably.
So Pierce says it's all over the school. Jeff asks why he isn't in sailing class, and Pierce says they drowned him for a better grade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is when we get some actually sage Pierce advice. Jeff is letting this guy get to him. He says that Jeff always says that he thought he was special and different, and he has a hard time when he wants to be good at something and he sucks. And Pierce says, he's going back to sailing class. When he was born, he had an umbilical cord wrapped around his neck, both his arms and one of his ankles. Mom said that there came a point when doctor stopped delivering me and just started laughing. If I ever let being bad at something stop me, I wouldn't even be here. That thing that some men call failure, I call living. Breakfast. And I'm not leaving till I've cleaned out the buffet.
Wow.
Powerful.
Yeah, that is powerful. Does he feel bad about being bad at being born? I don't think he really that's not really a skill, being born.
I think that he's just proud to, like, you know, thrive in any sense. Like, he's not bothered by the fact that he sucks at everything because he's just going to keep pushing forward. And he has enough money to buy himself into anything that he wants to be good at anyway.
Correct.
Yeah. He could just buy a tutor, buy anything to get good at anything, I suppose.
Yeah.
And this is when he rides off, like, in a canoe that has wheels. And again, he's still using like a paddle to like to maneuver.
I believe
it.
That's a paddle.
Yeah.
Pretty sure that is a paddle.
Nailed it. So we're back in sailing class. Shirley's giving orders and the professor looks very impressed. Pierce rolls out in his canoe on wheels and Starburn says that Pierce's life is one big joke. Britta says she feels bad for him, but things have been easier since he drowned. And this is when Pierce runs into something. I have no idea what it is.
A like, fire hydrant.
There was no hydrant in sight. Though.
I think. I don't know.
Yeah.
Unless it was like there was no top to it.
Was it like, was this like a prop comedy? Was it like there's like a thing that he popped in the boat that caused water to leak?
What would he pop in the boat?
Did he break like a bottle of champagne and it just started overflowing?
That's what it was. Finally, the bottle of champagne broke.
Yeah. Delayed reaction.
So water starts pouring in. Troy says Pierce is going to be the only person to ever drown in a parking lot twice.
Yeah, the delivery of twice is so good.
Yeah, Shirley, damn the storm. We're going after Pierce. She starts changing her orders. Britta's upset because she's about to get an A and saving Pierce jeopardizes that. Shirley says she'd rather be kind and get stepped on every once in a while than be a hard ass and turn her back on her friend.
Yeah.
Pierce is crying as the boat fills with water. We get this really funny, like, triumphant music as Starburns is, like, driving a tractor, which moves the boat closer to Pierce. They give Pierce a ladder. He climbs back up. I also love...
very heroic.
It is. And I love the shot of, from, like, inside the classroom as we see a boat, like, moving.
It was magnificent.
Yeah.
I love that. And I love Pierce, like, crying in the boat. He's like, and, like, he's trying to, like, shovel the water out with like I don't even know what, like
maybe his hat, I don't know,
maybe a hat, like I love
bale and champagne.
The all the champagne.
yeah. Waste of champagne.
Yeah.
Professor Slaughter says that they just steered their boat into a storm. Any last words? The sea may be cold and forgiving, but I'm not. Yeah, the ship might go down, but at least she'll go down with honor. And this is when Shirley offers her captain's hat to the professor, and he promotes Shirley to admiral. Everyone gets an A.
Admiral Shirley.
I love it.
I love that, too. She's earned it.
She definitely earned it. She is like, you know what? I feel like she earned like self-confidence in this episode. We see her so tentative to give out orders earlier on, and now she's like with gusto.
She's in. Yeah, it's great. Yeah. It's classic.
Pierce stands at the front of the boat and starts saying, I'm king of the world.
Yeah, don't ruin a perfect week. And this whole class was just a week long?
It was, yeah, they said it was a week intensive, which I've never heard of before, but
I'm sure it exists.
Either.
Yeah.
So he holds up a picture too with an X over it, but if you look close, it's not Leo.
No, it's not. I was wondering what that was. I tried pausing down. I have no idea what it is, but it's not. You'd think it would be from Titanic.
Yeah, I was expecting it to be Leo. Maybe Leo didn't give the sign off.
I think it was like somebody else who, yeah, probably that in reality. And then like the the in-universe explanation is like it's somebody else who had taken the professor's class. Yeah.
But it's terrible because it's not like he can ask Patrick Swayze, the directors, if they can use his
probably
pictures.
Had to ask the estate or whoever owns the rights to the movie.
Maybe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're back in pottery class. Jeff enters and Rich holds out his hand in front of his creation so Jeff can't ruin it. Jeff says he doesn't know how to explain his behavior. And Rich says, don't worry about it. I'm bad at holding grudges. Jeff says he's bad at pottery. I'm bad at pottery. I'm an amateur pottery enthusiast trying as hard as I can at something I suck at. It's great. And the teacher said I could stay if I don't have any more ghost bursts.
Yeah. So he's going to rein that in. Yes. He's gonna hold back the ghost stuff. Then he gets to relive that memory with his mother. There's nothing special about you. You're great at a few things. By the way, sorry it took so long to tell. This is just your imagination.
Yeah, my bad. Kind of a sloppy mom.
Yeah, that's okay, mom.
Yeah, and he says it out loud, and like Abed and Annie just like stare at him because he's talking to himself in the middle of pottery class.
Yeah.
And this is when we get Rich's mother in his head. A clay ashtray? You're an idiot. Why do you have time to make pottery? Couldn't you use a little more practice being a doctor? Not that it'll ever bring back your brother to life. It was supposed to be you on that roller coaster, Richard. It was supposed to be you.
Yeah, and that's the end of the episode, barring the after credits. It's such an odd, dark, ominous note to end on. I loved it.
Zoom in on Rich's face.
Yeah, like so- I... I gotta say, like, I really liked the episode, but like the fact that like it kind of like the emotional story ends here really, really got me and definitely boosted it in my estimation. I feel like it was just like such like a strange, sour note to close this on, and feels like very much a thing that Community can get away with.
Yeah. Everybody has their demons, and even Perfect Rich. I like the fact that
it was supposed to be you on that roller coaster, Richard. It was supposed to be you.
Yeah. At least Richard's mom's not pretending like Richard's brother is still alive.
Yeah, that's true. We have watched shows where that is a plot line.
Yeah,
I like the idea that maybe Rich became a doctor because he wasn't able to save his brother from like dying, falling off of a roller coaster or something.
Some trauma.
And here we are to the after credits. Chang is walking into a locker room in a Speedo. He sees his locker open and all his clothes were taken. He grabs his moped helmet, puts it on, and he walks out sighing.
I would just switch YMCAs. It doesn't seem like that one's very safe.
So I think like safe. So this is going to end up being Streets Behind. You're both Streets Behind on this one. So just majority rules. For the record, I'm Streets Ahead. I think Chang is hilarious in this episode, and I just love it's just calling back to the earlier Chang stuff. Now you get to see it, and he remembers to come back for his stuff.
I think it was just like overkill, like, because we did this earlier in the episode, so I didn't need it here too. Like, I really liked him in the moped. I thought that was very funny. But here it's like kind of overkill because we already did the joke earlier, for me at least.
Yeah. I liked it. I thought it was funny. I get it. I'm not mad at this being Streets Behind. I think certainly of the post-credit scenes we've seen, this is definitely lower tier. For sure.
Yeah. I feel like I would have been surprised if it ended
We've
up
broken
being
the
ahead.
Champagne bottle, Jess. We can do Streets Behinds now. I'm not going to be upset.
Yes.
It's totally fine.
Yes, with no fear, we shall Streets Behind.
Mm-hmm. Sarah, any further commentary on why this one was a Streets Behind for you?
I just prefer my end scene to be with Troy and Abed.
Sure.
That's what brings me joy.
That's totally fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. Onto the F Community feedback.
Yeah, what do we got? We got that wisecrack blueberry showing up.
Yes, I really like this feedback. This ep, much like Annie's pottery techniques, has ups and downs for me. Tony Hale has a delicious blueberry of her performance, and the ghosting rules are the peak of the pot for me. Rich is also an amazing foil to Jeff, and he is my theory for being the dean's number one man on the list of most attractive students. What I don't love is how far down the rabbit hole of threatened Jeff goes in reaction, especially this late in the season and so soon after the pool episode, which is a similar theme. I feel like Jeff has already grown a little beyond the total narcissist we see in the pilot, and this sets him back to square one. His gold blooming bit is almost worth the divergence, though.
Yeah, the scene, the montage that's like matched with like the flashbacks is so funny that I think that elevates it for me to like a pretty good grade for Jeff. Specifically, but probably would have gone even higher if it didn't feel like to the wisecrack blueberry's point that we were kind of just like, you know, revisiting stuff we've done with Jeff before.
Yeah, and I think like we'll get into Jank's feedback, which kind of dives into why I think it's a little bit different than the normal Jeff stuff. But I do think it is slightly. It doesn't feel. I mean, it certainly feels. Like, we've kind of been here before, but it's not exactly the same plot that we've gotten with Jeff before. So I do appreciate that at least they change it up a little bit, even if it is another Jeff-centric episode that, again, I'm not a huge fan of, and we will get away from in season two.
Yeah.
Jank says, this episode is probably the funniest we've had so far. And while the heart of the episode is Jeff Pierce-centric, which doesn't seem like a great recipe, it really works. This is probably the best episode for the heartfelt aspect of Pierce. It doesn't feel forced. The idea of accepting failure and carrying on fits with his character. And it's also a great lesson for Jeff in not directly trotting over the same material we've covered for him.
That's probably why I like this episode so much, is because of like the heartfelt moment between Jeff and Pierce. I think this was a great showing for Pierce. In my memory, it's probably one of my favorite Pierce episodes. I thought that he was really, really funny. I thought they had this really nice, like, you know, father-son moment with Jeff that we kind of see throughout the at least the first couple of seasons. So I really, really like this episode. And I also like how this episode gives a little bit of backstory to Jeff. Like, this show doesn't really focus too much on, like, the character's past per se. Like, this is not like a drama where, like, you're going to see, like, get to know their whole lives and, like, you know, or even friends where it's like you really get to know them. So, like, to see, like, a little glimpse of, like, the reason why he is the way he is, I appreciate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it makes total sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think, like, whereas maybe people didn't necessarily believe the Pierce-Jeff interaction where, I think it was just in the last episode, where Slater breaks up with Jeff and he, like, cries on Pierce's shoulder and it feels a little bit forced. I feel like this was a little bit more natural of a scene between them.
Yeah, I agree. I think that makes sense. Tommy basically agreed with a lot of this, right? Tommy said it's a good episode. Tony Hale shines as the pottery teacher, but Jeff getting jealous, it's never a fun plot for me. And Tommy says, Rich is somebody I would like to throw a carrot cake at. He tries too hard.
I mean, I feel like if you're Jeff, you want to throw a carrot cake at Rich. Does he bother everybody, though? I don't know. I don't know.
Maybe Rich.
I like Rich.
I like
he
Rich.
He seems a little bit too happy for me, but maybe that's just because I'm, like, a little bit of a cynic sometimes, where I'm like, are you really that happy, though? Like, are you really that nice, though? No. Everybody has a mean streak.
Yeah, I mean, he's not that happy. We see that he's not, like, that happy of a person. He puts on a shell. But he is a people pleaser because he was never able to please his mom. Boo hoo.
Yeah. Who doesn't have mommy
issues? It should
have
been you on that roller coaster, Richard. It should have been you.
Oh, poor Richard. Yeah,
I feel like I should give a Dean's List point to Richard's mother.
We only even hear her voice. We don't even see her.
Yeah.
Oh, great. My gosh.
Yep. All right, last one. This is from Riley. Riley says, I think this episode feels a bit more like season 2. Well, the main plot is Jeff-centric. It's closer to the season 2 style of a Jeff story, where rather than the repetitive Jeff learns to be decent, the story sort of assumes you know he's like a likable character after his growth in season 1. So rather than telling a story of how Jeff learns not to be a dick, Jeff's flaws are played comedically, and while he does learn something at the end, it's not the focus, and it still focuses more on Jeff's flaws, making him a funny character in certain situations. It's way more season 2. I'm unqualified to weigh in. I'm also now realizing, because Riley mentioned this during the live taping of this episode, Rich showing up again in season 2. I'm realizing now I've seen Rich before on Community. It's in a Halloween episode, and I'm pretty sure I said the exact same thing about Justified when he showed up there.
You might have. Yeah. I didn't remember it if you did, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree with Riley here. It does feel a little bit season 2-ish, and maybe that's why it doesn't, the Jeff-centric plotline doesn't bother me that much, because I think, like, it's so funny that it doesn't really annoy me, the fact that we're, like, still focusing on Jeff 19 episodes in, when we have other characters I'd like to focus on.
I mean, yeah. Is it so bad as Jeff being the main character that we pay attention to Jeff? I
but
like
that's,
Jeff.
He's not a main character. It's an ensemble show. It is an ensemble. You know what you're doing. You know what you're doing. She knows what she's doing.
Yeah, I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. I like Jeff. I like Jeff.
Well,
episodes.
You like Harry Potter. You like the main characters in everything.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we were here for a reason, so.
All right. Let's meow meow. Time for them beans. Let's do the meow meow beans. The MMBs. I shall start. No one got lower than a 3. Most people got trapped into 3s. A flat 3 for Britta, Abed, and Annie. All serviceable, mostly forgettable for me. I bump up Troy and Pierce each to a 3.5. I think that their involvement in the sailing storyline obviously is super great. Troy has just like a couple of like little winks and nods. The only person to drown in a parking lot twice is very funny. His ghost riding the jib's funny. Like there's a couple of things that Troy does that are great. And I think Pierce is like whole like physical comedy as always. gets me. I think I've enjoyed Pierce more before. I'm happy that we seem to be enjoying Pierce enough this week. I probably enjoy him the least of the three of us, which is weird in this episode. Mm-hmm. Usually I like Pierce a little bit more than Jess and the guest. Jeff gets a 4 for the reasons aforementioned, specifically the flashback stuff just killed me. And that kid is like escalating Jeff from probably like a 3.5 to a 4. And I don't need to repeat myself on the full fives for Shirley and Chang. Shirley lets Pierce die at one point. That's hysterical to me. And just great character stuff for Shirley this week. And then Chang just, with all three Chang scenes, I laughed very hard. I really like Ken Jeong just generally. So, it hasn't happened for me. I don't have the Chang baggage yet. It is still like mm-hmm. a factor that's coming into play for me.
Yeah, that's fair. Sarah, would you like to go over your meow meows?
Oh, I would love to go over my meow meow beans. So I gave Chang a 2.5. Sorry, Josh. I don't mean to, you know, upset you.
I get
you.
It. No, I'm not upset. I'm not upset. Yeah. I'm enraged.
Yeah, enraged. Yeah. He did nothing for me. Nothing. No,
I'm curious.
No, he just like, it was a non-entity to me. Similarly to Annie and Britta, who got a 3 for me. Made a couple of jokes, but nothing too funny and nothing too horrible. Just like meh, the two of them. I gave Abed and Troy a 3.5 because I thought that I really enjoyed some of their lines. I thought that they added more than Annie and Britta this episode. So I enjoyed them. Then I went up to a 4.5 for Jeff and Pierce. Both of them had moments for different reasons I enjoyed. Liked getting to know a little bit more Jeff's backstory. I liked his breakdown over the pottery. I liked that he wasn't good at something and how that challenged him. And for Pierce, I just really thought he was funny. He actually did make me laugh this episode. I just loved his shenanigans on and off the boat, particularly all of his drowning scenes that really got to me. And then Shirley was spectacular this episode. She deserves a 5
yes.
for this episode.
Yes, Admiral.
Just because she's Admiral Shirley. Like, she was great. Like, she really commanded the scene. She was the captain of the ship. She will lead us out of murky waters, I'm sure.
That leaves me at the low end. Nobody got lower than a 3. I gave Chang and Britta 3s. Chang, he was fine. I gave him higher than a 2.5, which is like the average, because I thought he was funny in the moped scene. Britta is at a 3. Like, she didn't really have a huge presence in this episode. For me, Annie, Troy, and Abed all got 3.5s. Troy and Annie had those two lines that cracked me up. Like, oh, he taught me how to check for breast lumps. And the Hyundai as a mermaid's car killed me with Troy.
Funny,
so,
yeah.
Abed, I mean, it's really hard for Abed to get a bad score because I feel like one funny line from him is just like all you need to give him a good score. Pierce got a 4. I feel like that's very high for me personally to give Pierce. It's really hard for me to ever give him close to that 5 territory. He did have one questionable line, so it bumped him down a little bit. And Shirley with a perfect 5. 5, 5, 5s across the board for Shirley. She is amazing. And it's not just the fact that, like, she's hilarious. It's that, like, we saw significant character growth from her in the span of 20-something minutes. Like, she goes from being,
it's a great,
like,
arc.
Yeah, like, oh, I gave my ex my van so that he could drive his new girlfriend to like some club out of town. And then at the end, she's like commanding a ship.
The Navy.
Like, it's great.
The Green
she's an
Tail Fleet.
I love Shirley. I'm really happy that like we're doing this rewatch here because it just makes me appreciate her more as a character. I feel like I've always been too low on her. And this rewatch is really like opening my eyes to how amazing she is as a character. Yeah. And obviously, Yvette Nicole Brown, like you just can't not love her. Yeah. Specifically on the commentary, if nobody's listening to the commentary, any commentary she's on is hilarious. So give that a listen, or I guess a watch technically on the DVDs if you have them.
Yeah. One more thing about Shirley. Like, not only did she like become like strong and like command, like, you know, a presence and everything, but she actually like went like kind of a full circle to like, although I can be commanding and I can take charge, at the end of the day, I'm still who I am and I'm still a nice person. I'm still here for my friends. So I liked that from her too, because it's like she's not a hard ass. Like she does care about the people that she cares about. So it's kind of like a full circle moment, which makes her like a full 3D character.
Yeah, and standing up to the teacher couldn't have been easy for her either. I feel like she doesn't necessarily like standing up to authority. So,
no.
Significant movement for Shirley and Britta in our rankings here. Shirley has jumped two spaces to third, not by a sizable lead. She's only a half a point ahead of Jeff. And Britta has dropped two spaces.
Britta has fallen.
Yes. Well, she didn't really have a huge part in this episode, and that like 3 to 6 range.
She has like
is
nothing to
tight.
Do in this one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's just nothing going on with Britta. I actually even like think like the 3 is generous. Like she's just not doing anything.
I gave it to her because of the line to Jeff about his mom giving him too much praise. I thought that was funny. So I bumped it from a 2.5 to a 3.
I'm starting to think like my threshold is like you really have to like do something like sort of actively negative to like fall under a 3. Is like sort of like that's like the floor for me, and then like how are you, what have you done to make you fall further than that? But like Shirley, she's not only is she top 3 just like a smidge above Jeff by a half point, but she's only 10 points lower than Abed at the top, so like it is pretty tight. Like I feel like people coming for Abed's crown.
I don't see anybody surpassing him for season 1, but I would certainly expect people to give him a run for his money in seasons going forward.
Yes.
I just think like season 1 is so Jeff Abed focused. Like if it's not a Jeff episode, it feels like it's an Abed episode a lot of the time. Whereas I think it is more of an ensemble show once we get to season 2.
Yes, I think so. That sounds right. Based on everything that I've heard,
and you've seen some seasons.
Yeah, too. I think that it tracks for me. Dean's List, straight shot. Tony Hale, Professor Holly.
Yes.
Yep.
The blueberries.
Easy.
Win it.
Easy. Rating the episode. I gave it a 3.4, which is like a little bit lower than like when I really love an episode of Community. Like I seem to have like stopped at that 3.6, or like that one time I just got goaded into a 4.
You make your own choices.
I know it. I succumbed to rage is what happened. I gave it a 3.4, and to be totally honest, I think in my heart of hearts this is closer to like my kind of like 3.2 tier, and I'm like 0.2 acknowledging that I think people really enjoy this one to a level that like I really liked it, but like it didn't, you know, it didn't knock my socks off. I think I'm lower on it by my standards anyway. Than I think most people seem to be. So I gave it a 3.4, kind of like a little bit of a respect bump. And also, 2 characters getting a full 5 for me means like that's probably worth acknowledging with and reflecting that in the episode itself. But as far as like pure enjoyment, would I seek this one out over the others that I've seen? I don't think it would be like a top half for me. I think it'd be like just at the edge. I think it'd be like right in that middle line for me so far.
I also rated it a 3.4. This was a really great episode. And I think that if I enjoy both plot lines, I'm definitely going to rate it higher than if I like loved one plot and really didn't like the other one. So for me, I really enjoyed plot A and plot B. I thought that Pierce being likable was a change and something I really enjoyed. I love Shirley. I even thought like, even though this has the Jeff focus, I still really liked it. So I gave it a 3.4, which is a decent score from me. The highest I've gone is a 3.9. But most of the time I'm hovering around that like 2.8 to 3.2 territory. So a little bit higher than my normal score here.
Yeah.
Sarah, what did you give this episode?
I gave this episode a 3.6. I think that this is one of the more memorable episodes for me in season 1. I always liked it from my first watch. And when I was thinking about what episodes that I wanted to cover, this was the first one that came to mind. I really like both storylines. I obviously really like the pottery aspect of it and seeing Jeff's spiral, but I think that the sailing storyline on a second rewatch for me is probably the stronger storyline. Definitely got like more laughs for me on that end of the episode. But altogether for me, I really love this episode for all the aspects that we've discussed.
Yep. And the audience is pretty much right there with us, a 3.37, which brings the average to a 3.44, putting it in sixth place, right behind Comparative Religion.
It's very high. I'm a little surprised with how high it is, personally.
People really like this episode. The highest score it got was actually a perfect 4.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And the lowest was a 2.5, which was honestly pretty low for most people. Actually, everybody but that one person had it in the 3s.
Yeah.
So most people really enjoyed it. I don't know. I wonder if people, I'd like to know from people if which storyline they enjoyed more, if it was the sailing or the pottery, because I really like them both equally. So not a bad spot for it to be. And we're coming up on the end of season one. We are almost there.
We're getting close. I mean, we were talking about like some summer scheduling stuff, Jess. Mm-hmm. We're a few weeks out from season two. I think it's like a tiny bit longer. I have some vacation coming up, so we're like figuring out like some of like the what are we doing? Yeah. Like, do we have a skip week coming up or something like that? We'll let you know once we finalize the schedule. It's looking like either that or a bonus podcast coming up at some point in the next few weeks. But like, I think we get to August and we're looking at like season one in review.
Yeah.
It's wild.
It truly, I still can't believe we're already here. And I'm honestly really excited. Like I like season one. Obviously my scores have reflected that, but season two, I think is just like firing on all cylinders. So I'm super excited to revisit some of the episodes you've already seen and watch new ones you haven't. Really excited about that. But first we have to finish season one.
Yes. So next week, season one, episode 20, The Science of Illusion.
Yes. What do you think? Just to get a quick hit on this, Josh, what do you think this episode is about? Because it has an interesting title.
Magic. And okay. Thanksgiving.
Of course. Always. And we had to have two badass women on back to back. And somebody who is no stranger to the Shit 90 Shows Taught Me podcast, Deidre Lipsicus, is coming on.
Hype. Massively hyped. Super excited. Thrilled. Very, very pumped about the proprietor of the Wario Casino, mm-hmm. Deidre Lipsicus. Also, it should be noted, I believe it was Styx during the live chat who notes that Wario died in a roller coaster accident. Is Wario Rich's brother?
I think this is canon. I think we can canonize that.
Deidre can confirm as our resident Wariologist, mm-hmm. alongside community building theme song creator Corey B. We'll make sure to verify that. Mm-hmm. I'll probably forget to ask, so Deidre, just remember to bring it up.
Yes, really excited to have her on. We were trying to figure out what episode she was going to come on for, and I'm just so excited it worked out. And it's going to be amazing. I can't wait.
You know what I'm excited for? This moment right here. I've been honestly waiting the entirety of the podcast to mm-hmm. get to this point. Jess, Sarah, what kind of shit have the 90s taught you recently?
Josh, what do you know about pudding boobs? I asked you this only because we had the
MOTPD.
Yeah. The aforementioned spectacular Deidre mm-hmm. on our podcast to discuss Now and Then, where we learned so many things about the 90s, although half the movie took place in the 70s. Some pudding boobs, some facts of life, but all in all, it was a great podcast. We loved having Deidre on. Please check it out. It's coming out this coming Saturday the 19th.
Amazing.
Yes, a great podcast. We had a lot of fun.
That answer, by the way, exceeded all expectations I had for when I asked you what shit the 90s have taught you recently.
I was not expecting
Josh, what do you know about pudding boobs?
Yeah,
ask Emily about pudding boobs. Not on the bingo
card. Not on the bingo card, and I'm thrilled about it.
It's better than Jello boobs, that's for sure.
Yeah, too jiggly.
They don't look real enough.
Yeah, this the pudding helps with texture and firmness. Yeah. So aside from all of that, we also have A Land Before Time with Lindsay Wilson coming out.
And so, like, Sarah, do you have anything that you'd like to say about the fact that this is how you guys broke the 90s format, that you chose to explore the land before time? Like, we're going to break away from our thing. Our thing is we're a podcast about the 90s. Yeah. We're going to violate this in favor of the land before time, which, when did we say that came out? 88?
It's 88.
Yeah. Is this Jess? Now, Jess, is this why you don't like to talk about release dates on the podcast? Because you have to own up to the fact that you're violating your podcast's principles. Okay, like, the core promise of the podcast violated for the land before time.
Yeah. The only promise is that we're going to have a good time. That is the only promise we ever make.
The land before a good time.
Yeah. I do have to say, I really do think that we chose Land Before Time just to torture me, because
I knew you were going
to
say this.
Because there's this whole thing about dinosaurs on our podcast, and it's just like, I don't know. It's like, there's a
Sarah
rumor.
Sarah has a problem with dinosaurs.
There's a rumor that I don't like dinosaurs.
Well, Sarah, you probably were rip shit when we were power ranking the dinosaurs and Sarah went last.
Okay. Well, I know. The thing is that, like, Sarah.
You're like, what the hell, bro? What are you doing? Sarah.
She is a bottom tier dino. But also, like, they all are. Like, they all suck. And actually, I don't really think that Sarah is the bottom tier, because Spike is useless. Littlefoot's an idiot. She's not bottom tier. She's like probably
Spike
third.
Is useless. Littlefoot's an idiot. Drag the rest of them, please. Thank you.
Okay, Ducky is cute. Okay, Petrie, legitimately, this is going to be a spoiler for our podcast. I don't care. Petrie is 35 years old, hanging out with 2-year-olds. And who let him come in?
It's weird.
He's clearly not a child like the rest of them.
Yeah, it's strange.
But he's learning to fly.
It's like when Artie hung out with Pete and Pete. It's like, dude, I don't know.
Who invited you to this party? So in actuality, is Sarah the worst one?
Yes.
I don't think so. I don't think so. Have you, like, Spike did not even have one line.
Because he's just there to be, like, the roly-poly cute guy.
He's not cute, though. Like, Ducky is freaking cute. Spike is, like, literally, like, a potato with spikes.
A potato.
Horrible.
So this is a nice preview of what that podcast Incredible. Is going to look like.
All right. I so take everything back. It was worth it for you two to talk about the land before time.
Yeah.
I'm suddenly in favor.
We have that to say and then so much more because, like I said, there's a rumor that I don't like dinosaurs. I want to, like, totally clear the air about this rumor, too, because it's, like, it's not necessarily true. It's just something that's been put on me. So I'm ready to clear the air about, like, me, my dinosaur ops.
Fair.
So, and then aside from that, if that does not entice you to check out Shit 90 Shows Taught Me, we also have weekly Boy Meets World content. We just started season 3. We do have weekly Dawson's Creek content. It's a hell of a ride. And then aside from that, so much more stuff happening in July. Come check it out.
Okay. All right. Where do they find you guys?
At Shit90sPod on Twitter and Instagram. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And you can find me at Sarah Ferguson. I still hang out on the Clubhouse because I'm...
Someone's gotta.
I'm Chugy. So somebody has to...
The Chugy thing.
Somebody has to hang out on the Clubhouse, and that is me. Anything else, Jess? Am I forgetting anything?
That's definitely all of it. Yeah. So if you enjoy this dynamic, definitely check us out.
I'm a huge fan.
The arguing never ends.
I'm a huge fan. I love it. Sarah, it's awesome bringing you into our campus, onto our boat, the USS.
Yeah.
I don't know. What would the name of our community building vessel be called? The SS.
Is there a pun with Chang? Probably not.
I don't know.
Sailing out.
That sailing like out. Yeah, thing. Sailing out. Sure. That's fine. I'll take it for now.
It works.
All right. Plenty happening on post show. We're talking Loki on Everything is Super. We're talking season 5 of Lost on Down the Hatch. The Bloom Files is still in X-Files territory.
on Worst Day Ever, the 24 podcast. We just finished. We're done with all the podcasts we recorded a year ago. Now it's all going to be fresh stuff, starting with episode 4, which is going to include an extra-sized episode, which means it could be like 30 minutes instead of 24. So that'll be fun. Hang in there is closing in on the end of the line of the season 2. So many things happening, plus all of the post-show recaps, patron shows, including the fact that you get early access to episodes of Down the Hatch, as well as community building. You get it a little bit earlier than the rest of the peeps. So if you want your podcasts early, if you want other stuff like post-show recaps, theater, movie club, it's just at that $5 level to get the podcast feed. And then you go $10, you get into the Discord, you get to meet Wario, who Deidre will tell you all about next week. I'm sure it's gonna be super, 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 super duper fun next week. The Science of Illusion. Until then, everybody, Corey B, take us away.
This is a show about a team that started to grow a community. Wiggler and Jess, here till it ends. Meet up to pass or fail Greendale with all of our friends. The brightest timeline's here to shine away. Community building is here to stay.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.